Ezekiel Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Tie a 3-0 win at Sylvester for three. Oh! Oh! With 5.1 to go.
Here's Fields with time in the end zone.
A single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2000.
8 seconds to go. Kraft with Paolo defending. Now a switch off. He's got Niang on him with three. He better hurry. Puts up the shot. And he hits it with 0.2 seconds to go. Wow.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backboard. Turner across the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it just inside of half court.
They go for the ball game. Touchdown! Michael Jenkins on 4th and 1. Would you believe it? Craig Krenzel strikes with 1.5 minutes left. Holy Buckeye!
This is the Bunch of Nuts podcast featuring Dan Smith and Big Cass. Let's get nutty!
Hello and welcome back to a big time episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan here with Big Cass, and man, oh man, COVID-19, you have been ejected from 2020 after the review has come back for targeting. You got Trevor Lawrence, so you're ejected. You're done, man.
It's not, what sucks, it's not even the second half of the season, so he does get to come in and play. COVID does get to come in and play next week, which sucks because now Trevor Lawrence, Heisman front runner, my opinion, just because we haven't seen much of Justin Fields, is now out for 2 weeks. Real quick, does this lose the Heisman for Trevor Lawrence now?
I don't know. That's a great question. It at least makes the playing field even, I think, for Justin Fields to sneak back into it. And, like, obviously, we're wishing the best for Trevor. It's just crazy at this point. I was not expecting him to get COVID, especially, too, because they're so far along into the season. Like,
and it brings me up to my next question, too. You know, we hope everything, you know, goes well for Trevor and hope everything the best. Hopefully, he's just asymptomatic and not – actually sick, which, you know, kind of like what Nick Saban was. So we hope he, you know, recovers well. And I'm surprised not he's the only Clemson Tiger that tested positive that we, you know, that's came down. But also, that being said, he has a tough decision on his hand. Say Clemson drops either this week to Boston College or next week to Notre Dame. If you're Trevor Lawrence, who is by far the number one draft pick, I mean, everybody's talking about, I know people talk about Trevor Lawrence, you know, not coming back for his senior year and not wanting to play for the Jets. I don't care who you are. You're going to take that freaking money to play for the Jets. I don't care who you are. You're going to go to the NFL.
This might be a wake-up call for him.
Yeah. Say if Clemson drops this week or next week, either Notre Dame or Boston College, what does Trevor Lawrence contemplate about just forgetting the rest of the season? Because at this point, I feel like right now locks are if Ohio State goes undefeated, they're a lock. If Oklahoma State continues to go undefeated, they're locked. They're a lock. Alabama's a lock. It's a one team race in the SEC.
I mean, though. My thing is, Cass, though, even if Clemson does drop one without Trevor Lawrence, that doesn't eliminate them at all from the playoffs. Like, I feel like they would drop to maybe 4, probably 5, but I could see them still being the 4th best team because, like, on paper, they're a good team.
If they lose to Boston College, though,
then there's some questions.
Yes. But if they lose both these games, they're out of the playoffs. Somehow they're not going to lose. But
they're not going to lose. They might not lose any of them, to be honest.
I know that. It's just hypothetically.
Yeah.
if they somehow drop this week, this is probably the biggest game that they could possibly lose. One, they're at home, but they're playing Boston College, who's a very relentless football team. Two, they don't have their star quarterback. And who's to say that no one else has COVID on this thing? Boston College is, especially knowing that they got to go to South Bend next week. This week for Clemson is huge. I say if they drop one of these two games, it's still opening up that North Carolina. If they still got to play North Carolina, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it plays out, but that's the breaking news. Trevor Lawrence has COVID. Just an absolute plot twist of this crazy college football season. But enough about Clemson. Wait. This is an Ohio State podcast.
Real quick, too. This would be the stupid thing, too. Can you imagine the storyline if Trevor Lawrence comes back and somehow Clemson wins the national title? He survived COVID-19 to come back and win a Heisman Trophy. Bullshit.
Yeah, I totally see that. If they're going to blow this out of proportion, he's probably going to be fine. Like it should be fine. But moving on, Ohio State 1-0 feels great to be 1-0, Cass, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Heisman candidates, Justin Fields 20 of 21, just a monster. And I'm going to tell you, I might have to go vegan because this dude who went vegan is he was great last year. He might be 100 times better this year.
He just looked so in control. Like it was the one incompletion he had. And this is Nebraska. Like it wasn't like a random, you know, MAC squad that we were playing to like start out the season. And like, he came into this game ready to go. 2021.
The very much improved Nebraska team.
Yeah. The only incompletion was like the receiver's fault. I mean, just an absolute unreal performance by Fields. 15 carries, 54 yards, 3 total touchdowns. He got Garrett Wilson and Olave over 100 yards each. Like, he just did an awesome job spreading out the ball, threw it to Jackson Smith and Jigba on probably one of the most – it's a crazy good throw by Justin Fields. People forget that. But unreal catch. Cass, you were there. What was it like being there on Saturday, man? Tell the fans.
It was weird, man. I've never been in such a weird environment at the Shoe in my life. Ran into our good buddy Randy Wade. I'm getting chills just thinking about this, man. To be able to be 10, you know, 5 rows from the field for the first time ever in my life, on the Ohio State sideline, I will tell you, Penn State 2017, I was on the field, but there was 105,000+ fans in that stands.
Yeah.
This time there was maybe 1,500 fans in the stands, all parents.
A lot.
Yeah, which is a lot. Stupid fake crowd noise. And I actually got to hear, like, Jonathan Cooper and Tyler Friday, you know, and the coaches coaching up D-line and the coaches coaching up the secondary, and great pictures of Ryan Day coaching up. I mean, I have a great picture of Ryan Day coaching up Julian Fleming. Punt return of Garrett Wilson and the toe tap.
Yeah.
The toe tap. I mean, come on. Like, and then Justin Fields, you know, getting a nice run. And then Master Teague running somebody over. It was unbelievable, but it was also really weird not seeing 105,000 of my closest friends in that stadium.
I can only imagine. I was at I went to my friend's house apartment in Cincinnati. We had a little bit of little small tailgate. It was cool, but I mean, Cass, like, it just, I'm jealous because you were probably the only Ohio State podcast that like probably got into a game this year. We can say,
And here's the thing too. So I got to tell you a funny story about a guy he went to school with. He goes by the Iconic Drew. He talks in the third person. He's about 45, almost 50 years old. So I did all the running, the errand running on Thursday because I worked 3 days. Everybody saw the picture of the big Infiniti that I got to drive, which, you know, flying down 315, going up to Home Depot, Walmart, Kroger, doing all that stuff. So he was the Saturday runner, and there was another runner. And basically Saturday, I sat on my butt and checked people in, you know, did some odds and end things that I needed to do also. So they sent him – it was like 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. They sent him to Chick-fil-A for the executives, the producers, and the talent that's up the booth, Gus Johnson, Jenny Taff, and Joel Klatt. They send him to Chick-fil-A, right? So he goes to Chick-fil-A. They're busy. It's Saturday. I mean, there's everybody's tailgating. You know, there's no fans. So he goes to Chick-fil-A. They run out of salads. Gus Johnson is a vegan.
Oh, and, no.
So he calls our supervisor and says, hey, Chick-fil-A is out of salads. I'm going to Wendy's. Hangs up the phone. So if anybody knows Wendy's salads, they're cooked close to the hamburger meat. Like, they're prepped close to the hamburger meat. So obviously – and then Gus Johnson hates Wendy's. I know he promotes Wendy's on TV, like, because he's supposed to, but he hates Wendy's. So my supervisor calls this guy 30 times and calls Chick-fil-A, yells out his name. He comes back. They had to send another supervisor to another Chick-fil-A, got Gus's salad. Thank God, because if you didn't get Gus Johnson's salad, my boss would have been fired right there on the spot, and we don't need that. So the guy comes back with two of the three orders. He got Joel's order, Jenny's order, and then half of Gus Johnson's, because Gus Johnson does love the waffle fries. And he got the executive's orders, but forgot the producer's order. He comes back. He's like, this is all they gave me. So when Jordan comes back with Gus's salad, he has to run back to the Chick-fil-A where the dude came from. And the bag was laying on the counter.
Oh, my God. It's all over a salad.
So needless to say, at the end of the day, at the end of the game, this dude got to go home. I did get, you know, 15 minutes from the third – got to watch the third quarter on the field, which was awesome. And then they come up to me about a quarter – keep in mind, I got there at 2:30, 3:30 in the morning. So I'm dead. We're tired. So a couple of those runners are tired. So all they had to do is load the trucks up. And my boss came up to me and said, we're going to send you guys home, and we'd love to have you guys back. They're going to put a good word in for me for any game that's going to be done by Fox for Ohio State, which includes the Michigan. So I could get a chance to do the Michigan game again this year. And maybe I think the Indiana game, because, you know, Indiana could be possibly undefeated by the time we play them. I don't know. I haven't looked at their schedule. But
play Rutgers this week.
So needless to say, I could be back in the horseshoe getting some, you know, some things going on in the horseshoe and
getting salads.
I won't. She did say I sure have sent you, because I would have got everything right.
Yeah, you definitely would have. I don't know. Like, that's an important job. They had to get like a supervisor to do that. Like, I feel like you could have easily done that and made it not hectic. That's crazy though.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I did get to watch the whole game. And what I noticed was a little shakiness by Ohio State at the beginning. But you know what? They made their adjustments. They shut down the run. And honestly, when you saw Adrian Martinez and Luke McCaffrey line up at running back, yeah, it's going to be problems because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think Nebraska is a totally 100% much improved football team, especially defensively. There's some tweaks that Ohio State has to fix. Like, Justin Fields can't be the number one runner. I think, in my opinion, Master Teague is hesitant because of his – he's the goal line back. We need him goal line situations. He's not going to be the every down back. And Steel Chambers and Trey Sermon did show flashes of it. I mean, not many of them – I don't think either one of them averaged over 5 yards a carry.
No, it was – I mean, both of them were like – I'm not going to say underwhelming because they played good at times. I think it was more the play calling. Like, because this is what we did a couple times. I feel like we were running Trey Sermon plays – like plays meant for Trey Sermon with Master Teague. And then we were running plays meant for Master Teague with Trey Sermon. If you rewatch the game, there was a couple like third and ones or third and shorts where, you know, we're supposed to use Master Teague. And we were giving the ball to Trey Sermon up the gut. Meanwhile, they're doing, you know, they're trying to get Master Teague out in space and stuff like just bad play calling. Like it should have been the opposite, I think.
Yeah.
The only logical reason I have here, Cass, is like maybe they're playing the numbers game. There's probably like they're thinking maybe like if Nebraska sees, you know, Trey Sermon in the backfield as opposed to Master Teague, they might be easy. Like there might be less people in the box because they might not run it on short. That's the only reason I could think of. I thought it was just overthinking by the Ohio State staff.
Yeah, it's first game.
Uh-huh.
First game's Ohio State had first game jitters. Harry Miller struggled in the first half. I think he'll be much better this week. This is the first game. This Nebraska is not your average first game opponent. And I think I thought the Buckeyes played well. I really did. I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but I think overall Ohio State played very, very well. They made their adjustments when they needed to. They shut down Nebraska in the second half. And I'm going to tell you what. Yeah, the wide receivers need to get better at blocking downfield, but that's okay. It's going to come at time. But I'm going to tell you what, there is no better duo in Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave now that Jalen Waddle's out.
Yeah.
On top of bringing in Jameson Williams, Cameron Babb, Jackson Smith-Njigba, and Julian Fleming, we have six, seven guys, solid guys. And Jeremy Rucker can block.
Yeah. That one, if you saw that one clip of him just mowing over that Nebraska defender, he literally was looking like a fullback out there, just like
great. It wasn't just that play. I went back and watched the game. My opinion, outside of Justin Fields, Jeremy Rucker was the player of the game.
Yeah, he definitely did a great job in the run game blocking, caught a pass. I would say, at least on the offensive side, he played a really good game.
Yeah, absolutely. Defensively, Haskell Garrett was a monster. And I think what opened up Haskell Garrett is the big body of Tommy Tuohy.
Yeah. I was going to say, Tommy Tuohy, probably one of the unsung heroes of that game. He did a really good job clogging up the middle, stuffing the run for the most part. I mean, Nebraska, look, the McCaffrey run to begin the game, I think that caught our defense off guard. I don't think we really scouted for that or expected that. Adrian Martinez, he had 13 carries, 85 yards, a touchdown. But Dedrick Mills really didn't do anything on the ground. He had the one touchdown, but he had also 9 carries for 25.
Shut down Wandell Robinson.
Yeah, like overall, I mean, I was pretty pleased with the defensive effort.
Yeah, so, I think Hooker and Proctor.
I think Proctor played a lot better than Hooker.
Yeah, I think both of them, they both need to play better, though.
They do.
And please, for the love of God, I love Tough Borland. I love the guy. Can we get somebody better at middle linebacker? I did listen to Zach Smith's podcast. He was the lowest graded defensive player on the field.
You know who played really good, honestly? A couple names that just jump out right in my mind. Pete Warner led the team in tackles, 7. Tackle for loss. I thought he had a pretty good game as usual.
Yeah, good adjustment.
Always just so consistent. Like we just take that so much for granted. 7 banks. Great first start for him, man. I mean, he looked like you definitely can see right away he's making the next jump. Like just the way he looked confident, big, fast, strong. He had a really good offseason, it looked like, and he's definitely, I think, has potential to go first round if he keeps it up. Like if he's going the trajectory, he's going to be a first round pick.
Yeah.
Marcus Williamson, too. Yeah. I thought he had a decent day. Like
he got held a lot.
Yeah, he did. He did. And also Sean Wade. Sean Wade played awesome. First of all, he should have had a pick. That one play where he passed off the one receiver and almost picked it on the sideline. great, great like route recognition and coverage by the veteran. But then he tried to draw a flop on Didrik Mills after he like got a first down. Like Sean Wade literally was like looked like he was trying out for like the WWE or like the NBA just with this flop. That was awesome. But I mean, like you were saying, Cass, it is the first game. There's going to be some mistakes, but like overall, I was very, very pleased with the defense after we made the adjustments.
What helps is when you have an All-American punter that can
fly too.
I mean, I think Drew Crispin took a step back last year, but he brought that step forward again this year.
And we take that so much for granted too, because it's like we don't really get to see him that much because we never really like are in a position where like we truly need him unless it's a big game. But like Drew Crispin early definitely took the pressure off of us. Like our defense, at least he had two punts, 98 total yards with a long of 52. So like he was averaging like 49 yards a punt, which is like right where you want to be.
Yeah, so we'll definitely need him this week. So let's turn the page. You know, there's not much you could talk about Nebraska other than it sucks that they can't play this year because Wisconsin dropped the ball with their COVID stuff. And I don't want to – that's for a different show, different day. I'm done talking about it. But Penn State week, it's rivalry – people say this ain't
Penn State. Not a rivalry week. It's just not a rivalry week.
It is a rivalry though. In my opinion, Penn State, Sean Clifford's already out there speaking like, "Hey, I'm not here to keep up with Ohio State. I'm here to beat Ohio State." Ohio State's being quiet. James Franklin tweeted out a bunch of Ohio State until, he couldn't tweet anymore. So Penn State's beat us one time in the last 5 years on a fluke, non-pass interference call on Terry McLaurin.
We could have punted. We could have used Drew Chrisman and probably won that game. Just kind of getting back to the point of Drew Chrisman. Like, I remember because of that field goal, it was like an option. Do we kick or punt? Because some people were saying maybe we're going to punt here. If we punt there, we probably win the game. Like,
so Penn State lost to Indiana on a bad, in my opinion, bad call, but they aren't going to overturn that call.
Yeah. I feel like you can't overturn that if you call a touchdown on the field and it's the home team. Like, the last tiebreaker has to be whoever the home team is in that situation. Like, it's like at that point, give it to Indiana.
So, I've watched a little bit of Penn State. I watched that game. I watched a little bit. They're a good, solid football team. Yes, they do. And I don't care what any Penn State fan says. Losing Journey Brown and Micah Parsons is huge. Just like Ohio State, your quarterback was your leading rusher.
And they lost Noah Kane. They're really down to their third string running back. But
and they have their starting linebacker is out for the first half of this week.
Oh, due to targeting.
Yes.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
Penn State's solid. They dominate statistically. Indiana. They turn the ball over though, and that's what Ohio State has to do. They have to put pressure on Sean Clifford and turn the ball over.
Dude, I was rewatching the game. Those turnovers by Sean Clifford weren't even like. They were just terrible throws. Like the one he just overthrew a screen pass, like a 5-yard screen pass, just airmailed it. The other one, he just threw it right to the safety. Like, and then Penn State fumbled a few times. They missed. I mean, Penn State just lost. Like they beat themselves, man. Like there's just no way around it. Like Will Lewis, their quarterback, he dropped that like a fumble. Their backup quarterback, Will Lewis, they just like – I was rewatching. I'm like, oh, my God. They beat themselves. Like, I thought Devin Ford played pretty good at running back when he came in. That touchdown, though, at the end kind of really hurt him. But, like, just missed field goals, stupid turnovers. Just, like, turnovers that, like, easy throws that are getting picked off. You can't do that, man. And just missed field goals. I think they missed, like, 3 field goals. And literally all that for Indiana to beat them by an inch. I know Indiana, it was well-deserved, but like all that had to happen and they barely lost to Indiana. Like I think we're still underrating Penn State a little bit. I still think they're a decent team.
They are a very good football team. They're going to be well coached. They're going to be ready for the Buckeyes this weekend.
I think they're not well coached. I think they're a good team and they have a terrible coach.
I mean, the problem with Penn State is, do they have the offense to keep up with Ohio State's offense? If Ohio State can find a running attack, which I think they kind of did with Steel Chambers and Trey Sermon, I think they were the better two of the backs. Sermon and Steel Chambers. Nothing against Teague.
I think Teague has his role as the goal line guy, but like the way Steel Chambers ran, man, like I was so impressed. He needs more touches. He was the most explosive back in my opinion.
Yeah. I just think they don't have the secondary to cover these guys, especially now Chris Olave is going to play. Ohio State's very optimistic that he's going to play. If they're optimistic that he's going to play, Olave's going to play. Garrett Wilson's going to play. I mean, Rucker, Farrell. I mean, I said that.
They're going to
– like, who's going to cover these guys?
They're going to target – they're going to really try to, I think, like, victimize Lamont Wade. One, because he was dreadful last year against us. And then two, just because last year he started that whole, like – that whole fight in the beginning, I think he's a 5'9" corner. Like, he's feisty, but like literally Ryan Day is just going to mock up Jackson Smith and Jigbo 101 on Lamont Wade, and he's going to moss him this week. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I just – there's a lot of speed for Ohio State. This game could be – if Ohio State can establish the running game, open up the more passing – Fields, we know what Ohio State's going to do. Like, Ohio State's offense is very explosive, and I'm not concerned with the offense. The defense, they cannot start like they did last week, for sure.
No, they can't. I hate to say it. I think at times, it's not going to be as extreme, but I could totally see a little bit of 2018 in this defense where – it's going to be we're really going to rely on the adjustments at halftime. And, like, not even halftime, like first quarter adjustments. It's just – I saw that, I think, this weekend again. It reared its head. It's just – and that's not – we're not going to be as bad. We're not going to get, like, holding penalties every play. Nothing like that. But I do think we can't – like, we don't have Chase Young and Okuda and Arnett and Fuller, all these studs. So we just can't beat them on talent alone. So the adjustments made by the coaching staff are going to be key. Until we know we really develop these young guys, really truly develop into like these great pass rushers. So I do think we could see Penn State score an early touchdown or two until our defense gets corrected.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think Ohio State. This is a very, very tricky game. We kind of know what to expect from Penn State, but we kind of don't. Like,
it's going to be hard fought.
It's a very tricky game. And, you know, I think Ohio State just talent. It's talent. Ohio State pulls away in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, on paper, the talent's better, but not by much. Like, Penn State, like, Sean Clifford's a good quarterback. Pat Freiermuth, probably best tight end in the nation. Jahan Dotson, he honestly played a decent game, I thought. I thought he was decent for Penn State. Just, you know, he's probably going to take the role of Hamler this year. He had 4 catches, 94 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, that's pretty good to get out of your number one receiver. Mm-hmm. But like you said, yeah, I mean, talent-wise, I think Ohio State still has obviously much better talent. Just they're another level ahead of Penn State. And it's just going to come down to coaching. And, like, I'm not saying James Franklin's not a good coach. He's a very good coach. But, like, he just makes some dumb freaking play calls. Like, there's just, like, he – like, how I was mentioning before how, like, the Ohio State coaches were overthinking it with Master Teague. Like, I feel like James Franklin does that every like, game he loses. Like when he lost to Ohio State in 2018 when he ran it on, like, 4th and 5, like, when Trace McSorley was going off. Doesn't have his guy kneel at the goal line. Just make some boneheaded decisions, I think, James Franklin. And he's just not a very good, like, in-game coach when it comes down to crunch time. And I think that's where Ohio State has the edge, because Ryan Day is a mastermind. He's going to have this team rolling, I think. And I really just trust Ryan Day in any situation when it comes down to making a strong coaching decision. We saw it this week, Cass. I think any other coach might have, not have been as aggressive in the beginning, because remember, there was a couple fourth downs where Ryan Day, he put his nuts on the table and went for it, man. And early on in the season, that's ballsy, I think. But I really trust Ryan Day. I trust Justin Fields. And I think, if it comes down to a coaching decision, we, as an Ohio State, has the upper hand.
Absolutely. I coaching decision, Ryan Day and his coaching staff can, make calls on the fly. Love the fourth down calls with, Justin Fields on his own getting the first downs. I mean, just – we got Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. I mean, enough said. And the talent – Ohio, the talent gap. There's a talent gap. I don't care what anybody says. They don't have Micah Parsons. They don't have Journey Brown. I'm not saying it's over, because I don't want to say that, because of what happened in 2016. But it – This is going to be fun. Little history note. Ohio State is 20-14 all time against the Nittany Lions. And both teams' longest streaks are four. Ohio State's was 2012 to 2015. Ohio State's current streak is three. And in that span, three games in a row, 16, 17, and 18, were combined points of 5-point margin. Tells you about the Penn State Ohio State rivalry, as I say.
Speaking of margin, Urban Meyer says it, that whiteout atmosphere, it's worth 7 to 10 points. Penn State will not be getting it this week, though, due to COVID.
Yeah. So now it's score prediction time. I've been on the fence all week on what I was going to say in my score predictions and key to victories. Let me do my key to victories first. Don't turn the ball over. Find a running game. And make Sean Clifford beat you through the air. I mean, they don't have talented receivers. So force some turnovers and pedal to the metal and put Penn State out of the misery early. And my score prediction is going to be I've been saying 37-20 all week. I'm going to go ahead and keep that 37-20 final score, Ohio State.
I like it. Let's see. I'm trying to calculate this real quick.
All right, hold on, everybody. Dan's doing math, so bear with us.
45. All right, I'm trying to make it. Because I'm trying to – I need to do some algebra real quick, folks. I apologize. I'm trying to, calculate. All right, I did it. I got Ohio State 45, Penn State 17. So I think they will play us a little tougher defensively than Nebraska, believe it or not. And I think we will give up the same amount of points we did against Nebraska, because honestly, Penn State's too good, I think, not to score at least 17 on us. I think the defense will give up either a big play to Jahan Dotson. I think he's a threat, really. He also might be Penn State's best player, not named Pat Freiermuth. Because the running game doesn't really scare me. I think, honestly, after seeing Taylor Martinez last week and McCaffrey, seeing Sean Clifford and Penn State's third string just isn't as scary. So I really am going to look to see if Penn State can get their, big play threat, Dotson, deep. Obviously, baby Gronk, Freiermuth, he's a problem. He might honestly probably score if they get near the red zone. I could see that totally happening. But I have Ohio State 45, Penn State 17. I think Ohio State will. 45. Is that six touchdowns and a field goal? I can totally see Ohio State doing it. I mean, I see Justin Fields going for a monster game, probably like four or five total touchdowns. I think also Julian Fleming will score his first touchdown.
I think he's going to have a big game.
You know what, too? People people were like saying kind of underwhelmed last week because he only had one catch for 13 yards, but he finished as Ohio State's third best receiver statistically in yardage. So not a bad first game. Just got overshadowed by Jaxon Smith-Njigba's touchdown. But I do think Fleming will get a touchdown this week.
Yeah, I couldn't love it anymore. So before we get to our ignorant picks of the week, what is that team up north up to? They've got a big game this week, the Paul Bunyan Trophy, which Fox thought it was going to be a big game until seven turnovers cost Michigan State to lose to Rutgers.
You know what, though? I'm all for this game. Like, we'll talk about it in our picks, but, like, it's a good noon game. I'm excited to watch it.
Let me tell you about this. Michigan's on a high ho right now. They knocked off a average Minnesota team. I don't care. Minnesota's average. They're not that good. Mm-hmm. They're not that good. They lost so many guys on defense. Mm-hmm. Michigan couldn't really throw the ball. They have solid running backs. Okay. Milton can run. Haskins can run. Charbonnet can run. And so can Evans. They can run. That's fine. But they can't throw. They can't throw. And, yes, they finally got a victory against a top 25 opponent. Yes, Harbaugh wasn't wearing khakis. Yes, their fans are still ignorant, saying that, you know, on Facebook, saying that only Rutgers scares them on their schedule. And I said, can't be serious. And he said, I'm as serious as, keep in mind, folks, this dude said Weight Watchers to me. I'm a big cast. I don't care. He said, I'm as serious as you and your family needing Weight Watchers. And he spelled weight, W-A-I-T. Tells you the IQ of a Michigan fan.
It's the typical Michigan fan. Didn't go to the school. Acts like they went to the school. Acts smarter than everyone. I just can't believe the Joe Milton hype train. I heard this from my buddy, Mitch. And it was a great point. He said, Joe Milton is literally just Michigan's Cardale. Like that, I think that is the best comparison. Like, nothing against Cardale, won us a national championship, unreal player. But the Joe Milton's not winning a Heisman. Joe Milton's a good, like a decent player, but he like
Joe Milton's not winning a national title either.
No, and they, like you can see the offense they're running still. They're still running that stupid dink and dunk, like little 1940s power offense. It's not going to work. It's not going to work against Ohio State.
They don't have a receiver to throw the ball downfield.
No. I will say the running backs impressed me.
Yes, they are pretty good.
Yeah, Haskins, Charbonnet. They had another guy, I forgot. And their fullback, Ben Mason. Like, the running game's great. Yeah. No doubt. Like, they've got something going good there, and obviously Joe Milton's going to be able to run the ball. But outside, like deep threat wise, I'm not too worried.
Exactly. So let's get into the ignorant picks of the week. I need to pull up the schedule. Should have thought about this first.
Pull it up. I got it right here. It's actually, I'm looking at it.
Slate.
It's a sneaky good early slate. There's so many games that like it's a high ranked team against someone who could potentially upset someone.
We gotta promote this as we're putting a Bunch of Nuts podcast tailgate, the first one at Big Cass's house this weekend. Right now, it's just us two, our female significant others.
So, shocking.
Yeah, and some of my closest family will be here. Sorry, my funny brother won't be here. He's got to work.
Hate to see it. But we'll see Billy eventually, though. But just it's going to be a fun weekend at Cass's. We're going to play some cornhole. I don't think he realizes how seriously me and my girlfriend take cornhole. We will go for the touchdown on you to rub it in like Ryan Day did. Like we take cornhole very seriously.
I don't. I'm not even. I will tell you right now. I'm not even that good. But you know, there might be some other people that would be here that's very competitive. So, okay. Ooh, South Alabama is beating Georgia Southern 17-10 right now.
Yeah, it's some good games are on.
Dude, right. I love this. I ain't going to lie. I love the Sun Belt on Thursday nights.
It's honestly, it's grown on me. And too, we also, we have Colorado State, Fresno State tonight at 9 p.m., 10 p.m. So, like, there's a late night game too. Like, there's a lot of good good football on this weekend. But, yeah, let's get into the Saturday slate cast. Which one do you want to start with?
Well, let's start right in the Big Ten, Minnesota at Maryland. Friday night, 7:30 in Maryland. I got the Gophers, but I don't know much about Maryland. They need to find some playmakers.
They look terrible.
Give me the Gophers. Maryland might lose to Rutgers.
No, they will. They will. Mark it, like, Rutgers is not going to be that bad this year. I think we like Rutgers has potential to be not the last team. They're going to be the third last team. They're going to be like, I think, the fourth or fifth team.
They're going to be the normal Indiana.
Exactly. Indiana is going to be like the third or fourth place team. Rutgers will be like the fifth place team. Like, they're good. They're decent. They're better. But
I'm going to tell you what, these noon games. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I got Minnesota just because Maryland is terrible. Mike Loxley is a terrible coach. Tua's little brother looked bad. Like, they just did not look good at all, Maryland.
All right. These noon games actually look pretty good. Pretty
they
solid.
Are. Licking my chops looking at them. Like,
well, just I thought Clemson, Boston College was going to be a blowout, and it still very may well be. And we're not going to pick this one. It's not fair because, you know, Trevor Lawrence is not there. I don't really want to pick it. So we're going to go to the Memphis at Cincinnati. We both watched Memphis beat Cincinnati twice last year. Cincinnati may very well sneak into the college football playoff maybe or get that New Year's Six Bowl. Memphis at Cincinnati, give me the Bearcats.
Give me the Bearcats as well, but I will say I feel like this game has been on the schedule seven times this season. I feel like every time I look at Cincinnati, they play Memphis somehow.
I think they played them a lot last year.
I swear, last week when we were talking about this game, I thought they were playing Memphis. They were playing SMU, but we were just like – we just remember, I think, our dumb minds, because the last time I think we actually sat down and watched like a full Cincinnati game was at Urban's Pint House. Mm-hmm. And literally every time now I think of Cincinnati playing a team, I just think it's Memphis. So, but I guess, yeah, give me Cincinnati. Cincinnati looked good, honestly, against SMU. Yeah. They looked real good.
Michigan State at Michigan. I think this is cool. I think if Michigan State can hang on to the football, it's going to be closer than what everybody thinks. But I still think Michigan pulls up, has a 3-touchdown victory.
This is a big one for Harbaugh. If you get a win to start the season over a ranked team, you beat your rival Michigan State, you go 2-0. The Joe Milton hype train is going to be unreal. It's going to be hilarious. He's going to probably propel like top 10 into the Heisman. Like, he's going to be a top 10 contender in the Heisman race just off of reaction and people just making it a bigger deal to be. I do think Michigan will be Michigan State though as well. I mean, we're agreeing on a lot of these, but it's just I agree with it.
Yeah. That's probably about it for the noon games. 3:30, yeah. 3:30 games. Indiana at Rutgers. I'm not doing Notre Dame and Georgia Tech. Notre Dame's going to blow out Georgia Tech.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
I got Rutgers. Give me Rutgers. I think Indiana's going to let down. They're going to let down. This one's at Rutgers home. That RU defense is legit. And I think Indiana's a good team because they beat Penn State, but they should not have won that game. I think they're going to be a little too cocky because – that literally Penn State should have won that. It's Indiana was not the better team. They just got pretty lucky, like pretty lucky on a lot of stuff. I think they're going to be in for a letdown against Rutgers. I think Schiano actually has a plan, which is kind of impressive. They look like a whole new program. Honest to God, like Brendan White, too, former Buckeye, had a pick and a fumble recovery. That defense is legit. Avery Young, good player. I think they will beat Indiana, and they got Isaiah Pacheco, Rutgers, like solid Big Ten running back, Bo Melton, receiver. They got a decent team, Rutgers. They got stuff to work with and a coach who knows the conference.
I'm going to go with Indiana, but I do think it's really close.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 4:00 on Fox.
This is a good
Texas
one.
At Oklahoma State. I'm going with the Longhorns. There's something about Oklahoma State. I know it's in Oklahoma State, but give me the Longhorns. Give me the Longhorns.
I'm going with Oklahoma State. I want to see Texas win, but I think Tom Herman, this is it for him, man. Like they're gonna come in there and they're gonna you know, take Tom Herman to the woodshed, man. They're gonna old yeller him. It's just like Tom Herman, man. You see all these. By the way, if you're not paying attention to what's going on in recruiting with Texas and everything happening with Ohio State, go check out BuckeyeScoop.com. Just because Nevada Bucks killing it and everything, but all these Texas recruits are decommitting. I think they know something's up with the, you know, Tom Herman probably going to get canned soon. I think he's lost the locker room. They have no fight. This game means a lot more to Oklahoma State, and it's at home. I got the Cowboys. By the way, Tulsa, we laughed at Oklahoma State because that Tulsa game was close. Tulsa's not that bad of a team this year.
No. All right. And then after looking down at the schedule outside of Ohio State, Penn State, there really isn't any big-time matchups that we could probably disagree on. Let's do North Carolina at Virginia. North Carolina coming off that loss to Florida State a couple weeks ago. Virginia's so-so. But this seems like a game where you might see Virginia win. Give me the Cavaliers.
No, I got North Carolina. I think they'll bounce back. But I will say we did call that on the show about North Carolina and Florida State. I think that was just more Florida State found a quarterback. I got North Carolina. I think they will rebound. They're not that bad where they're going to lose two to two, you know, not good teams. I still think they're probably a top. They're a top 15 team. That's what they are, a top 15 team. I don't think top 15 teams lose back-to-back to mediocre teams.
Absolutely. So check out all the Big Ten games. You know, I'm just going to mention all the Big Ten games. We're not going to pick them. Purdue is at Illinois. Michigan State at Michigan, we know. Ohio State at Penn State. Indiana at Rutgers. Northwestern at Iowa. And that is it, right?
I got a game. Keep your eye on game. Like this could be fun. Western Kentucky BYU. I don't know why. I got just a hunch that I think this is the week BYU, not bring your own. BYU gets. I'm already thinking of Saturday. They get exposed as frauds. I think this is an odd one, and it's a good one too because BYU's, you know, 11th best team in the country. This is a 10 p.m. 10:15 kickoff. So we'll probably be tuning in second half once Ohio State Penn State gets done. That's gonna be a fun one to end the night on, I think. And I don't think Western Kentucky will win, but keep your eye on it.
Next week, BYU is at Boise State, 9:45 p.m.
Oh my gosh, that's a great one.
Boise State is ranked.
That's gonna be a good one.
Question: is it time for BYU and Boise State to get a call from the Big 12?
They should have had a call years ago. I'm not sure why. If they don't get one now, they'll never get one.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and Houston too. I think Houston deserves one too.
Yeah, I think West Virginia should be out. Put in the ACC or the Big Ten. And then I think Boise State, BYU, Houston, and may very well be Nebraska because I don't think Nebraska.
Ooh. Yeah. Nebraska leaves. No, we love you, Nebraska, but like we understand.
It's the marriage is failing.
We'll take Cincinnati and West Virginia.
Take West Virginia over Cincinnati.
Take both of them because we're going to be losing. Oh, well, actually, yeah, replace West Virginia. Yeah. We'll trade West Virginia for Nebraska. Fair trade. We shake. Everyone's happy, and then they will add like BYU. The Big 12 will add BYU, Boise State, Houston, and what about like Utah State?
Colorado State.
Yeah, there it is, Colorado State. Perfect.
Anyways, big bunch of nuts tailgate party at my house this week with closest family, and Dan and Bree are coming down. Should be a fun one. Some cornhole action. I promise I'll be the Rutgers of cornhole because I'm not very good. Plenty of Busch Light,
Guinness, beer.
Plenty of food. You know, I think this could be a lot of food and a lot of fun. Since I have to stream the games, please nobody text us because we might be a couple plays behind. That's fine. But don't text us if Ohio State scores or Penn State because we'll be a couple plays behind. And go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Absolutely, Cass. Just like, I'm pumped for this game. I'm so excited. I mean, that really does it for tonight's episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Thank you all for listening. Beat Penn State. And as always, go Bucks.